Is it rolling, Bob?
It's kind of falling down. And I am planning on replacing it later this summer. I've already talked with that neighbor, and she's on board, but she won't be able to get the cash until later in the summer, which I'm fine. That we've already had that conversation. Everything right. is cool. So I get a call this morning at work, 10:30 this morning. Michelle calls me. I'm like, oh, that's unusual. Why is her cell phone? She's like, I've got a letter in the mail. I'm like, okay, that's good. And I'm like, what is this letter? She says, it's a letter from the neighbor behind us saying that they are planning on tearing down their fence this weekend and building a new fence and want to know if we want to contribute. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I don't recall being a part of this conversation at all. And I'm surprised that they're even going to be doing it because this is the first I fucking heard of it.
Right.
So I'm thinking, okay, well, this is weird. They're building a fence and they're just charging ahead. And nowhere at any point did they think, okay, well, maybe we should talk to these other people whose fence it also is. No, they're going to tear down their fence.
Thanks, Eric. I'm going to listen to that later, find out what this is all about, the fence situation in Calgary. But I've got my own show to do, the Dicks and Jeans podcast, and so this would be number, 623, I think. Yeah. I just put out the one a couple of days ago that I recorded all of it in Kingston, most of it lying down, most of it I don't even know how to describe it, but it was emotional, it was raw. I think my head was still a little messed up through, you know, at least half of that recording. I'm back to normal now. I've got my McDonald's $1 coffee. I tried something new. I thought, okay, I knew the timing was awful, 4 o'clock. Okay, every kid after school is going, every family is going to get something for their kids. Worst time ever to go to McDonald's, so I look at the drive-thru, oh, it's two lanes, you know, backed up. Okay, so I'm just going to go in. Well, in turned out to be a poorer choice. So everybody's getting these, you know, 4 box lunches and with this toy and that, and it was just, and all I wanted was my $1 iced coffee caramel flavor, and it took forever, but that's what I have now, and now that I've got a coffee, I feel almost obliged to do a podcast, so, they are good. I mean, it's a lot of sugar, but I like it, I really do like it, and the price is right. That's fair for a dollar. Anyway, this is not all about coffee. I guess last night, that was Wednesday night, today's Thursday, June 1st, oh my God, this is the time for me to get, really be working hard. I was going to be in Newfoundland for June, and there's no way, I've just sort of left my work behind. What's happened? I really have aged. Like, I know the difference. I have so much less energy now. I can still party at party time, although some would argue that, given that I missed Saturday night's party. Jesus, that's usually the one I'm peaking at. But, you know, hey, you heard about that in the last podcast. The energy level just isn't there. I get up and, well, the cat wakes me at 4, and I got to go downstairs and let the cat out so she can hunt. She brought back a mouse the other day, and then the injured cat who's taking up residence on our deck and gets fed 3 times a day because this cat needs help. The injured cat picked up the mouse that Yuki had parked exactly right beside the sliding door so we could all see it. Like, she brought it back for us, as they do. If it's not a mouse, it's a bird. Anyway, this cat, now named Tora-chan, like tiger, by Naoko, picked up the mouse, carried it into the center of the lawn, and proceeded to eat it after a full meal of cat food. Now, how did we get onto that? Yuki getting up at 4 in the morning to go hunting. And then me struggling to, you know, you're downstairs, you get a drink, you have a piss, oh, now back to bed. But you don't have that straight sleep right through, which 2 years ago I used to be able to sleep right through. This is so good. I can't do that anymore. So anyway, and then I like to get up at, you know, 7-ish when my wife is up. She always makes coffee. She grinds up the beans. And, you know, if I'm down when she's making her first cup of coffee, I get a wonderful cup of coffee that always tastes better than anything I make. But then after that, I'm just sluggish, just sluggish. So today I forced myself to make a couple of phone calls. God, this is boring. Who asked about the state of your health? What is this podcast, you know? You ramble on, you talk, you fill up time. What I wanted to get at was last night, Wednesday night, the only cafe with Adam and what's that other guy? Brent, the closet geek. I had such a good time. Now, we put out a show hole. My voice sounded wrecked. It probably does now, too. I don't think it's recovered fully. But we put out a show hole at the urging of Jason Reese, that fellow out near Tennessee, in Tennessee, near Nashville. And it just felt good to do it. It felt right to do it. Yeah, okay, here's a guy, a friend, part of our tribe, part of our group, part of this podcasting network, saying, come on, guys, why don't you do it? So we met up there, had some beer out in the patio. Sound quality was okay. We had Brent's H4 mic, I guess. And, well, there's a show hole. Go listen to it. But the time when we weren't recording, when we were just talking, as friends, talking about this tribe, talking about what podcasting means to us, but especially talking about the history of podcasting. We're trying to get Brent to interview or to introduce Adam. And Adam has roots. Brent has roots. I have roots. We go back to the early days. And to me, that's quite wonderful. And you think, wow, there's a lot of podcasts that have come, have gone, but are part of this fabric, part of this history. And I really was just convinced then, because I had had a toke, that suddenly everything has more significance, more importance, you know. I really felt it was time for somebody to dig and do a history. And this should be a Canada 150 project. Somebody should get some funding to research the history of Canadian podcasting. Now, we know we had a friend who found us and did her PhD thesis on just that. But that's long ago, and that's been shelved, and that would be a great resource, an excellent reference to go to. But, for example, when we were talking about the show hole, where did that come from? And for some reason, I thought there was some connection to MMD, and Brent said, no, the show hole was the talk they used to do, the banter, before the Anger Corps. Oh, okay, I didn't know that. Well, that's neat, because there's the Anger Corps. Well, which three people there? The Jasons and Brent. They owned up to saying it's like a spin, not a spin-off, a copy of Marshall McLuhan Variety Hour, except it has references all of us can understand. That was one of the clarifications. That was, it was just so good. And then you went dig into Adam's history, and oh yeah, Foreskin Radio and all of that. It's just, it's such a rich history. Now, Adam in particular, who I've often said on this podcast, is the true artist, the true beat amongst us. And he was, when he talked about Foreskin Radio, they did go out to sleazy bars. They did stand out in an alleyway in tough parts of Vancouver area or Surrey and have a toke and interview band members and just, you know, take a chance. Go out there. It was a walk on the wild side. To his credit. I mean, that's pretty amazing. And then the creative stuff he's doing now with Fast Forward I believe that's what it's called. I always call it 333. And then, of course, Brent's got a history of his own and is always plugged in. So I guess what I'm feeling is the integrity, the intensity, the originality of all these podcasting starts and sometimes stops. All these experiments, all this media, audio media, it's just, it's quite wonderful. And, you know, I'm mighty, mighty proud to be a part of it. I did, I think the name of the show hole was something about ego boosting, or every ego needs some boosting, or even legends need ego something or other. Okay, this, I can't give you that right now. I don't know what it was called, but whatever the case, I got some very good insight. I think the part of it, okay, there's a lot of gameplay, and last night I really stressed that what we're doing in this podcast thing is we're playing a game. It's a very, we make up the rules as we go along, but all the cross-references to each other's shows are a way of not taking yourself too seriously and sharing in, sharing together, that each one does its thing. For example, I was just listening to Eric and Joel, The Salad Years. That's great. Here's a couple of buddies going way back to college time together, art college or whatever, and their early lives, and now suddenly they're married, living different parts of the country, with kids, families, mortgages. Oh, my God. And they're digesting that, and they're talking about that. And that's just one of the many, many, many types of podcasts out there. But a lot of what comes through to me anyway, it's adults playing like kids in a fun way, playing a very intricate game. And a lot of it is not just what's recorded or put out as a podcast, but it's the interludes in between. It's the Twitter messages. It's the texting. It's the fun, the love, the teasing, the insulting. But it's also open to real, honest, deep conversations about, well, who are we? Where can I go? Like, I really feel I'm in a privileged position, being older, hanging out with Adam and Brent, guys in their 30s. Jesus, holy Christ, we got 60-year difference? Well, not quite, 30-something-year difference. This is neat. God, this is getting awkward now. I guess what I'm getting at was I was one of the people who wanted some affirmation. And I got it from both of them. I got it in terms of being referred to as one of the legends. Well, I guess that's good. And this reputation I've built up. This whole experience in Kingston, of as horrible as that time was for both me and for Adam, having a bad trip, it becomes part of the story, part of the fabric, part of the history. That gathering in Kingston was so much an important part. So again, that wasn't podcasting, but it was a podcasting tribe gathering. And now people will put out pieces and references to it and be inspired by it this way or that. George Motok has Bob's old digital recorder. There's a wonderful picture of him with his son holding it. Well, that's great. There is talking about podcasting history, the stuff that was auctioned off. My new, thank you very much, Michael, Bob and EJ mug. I mean, it's just a generic mug with a logo on it, but wow, This is important. This is my history. So all of that just becomes so rich, so important. But more than that, there's so much we actually give each other. And it's not just the shows. It's the time when we meet up at PAB or PodCamp Toronto or the podcaster roundtables in Hamilton. When we share, when we joke, when we laugh, when we have a drink together, a toke together, and deepen the friendship, strengthen them. Maybe some of them get a little bent, a little warped. Maybe some of them sour a little bit. That's okay, too. That's all part of the reality of it all. But it's just, I don't think everybody fully sees it that way. And I think I'm in a position to see it that way because perhaps I'm measuring time in a slightly different way. I'm very much aware that time is finite and there is an end and there's a question of what do you leave behind? But more importantly, what do you do now while you're still living and interacting? Like, how much more is there to share? So, I awkwardly expressing this, but it just, the time, it's hard for me to say. And I guess those guys did a very good job of kind of analyzing my character and telling me things about myself that I don't think I was very clear about. Adam referred to me as like a trickster. A role in the tribe who, I wish I could remember the word he used. I don't think it was trickster, but it was like that. Or somebody who might say something which might be a joke, but there might be something serious behind it. And within the joke, there might be a kernel of truth. And it suggested I have a bit of a twisted personality, and that's quite clear. That my sense of humor is a little off. And an awful lot of people simply would not understand or would not be interested. Again, I'm sorry if I'm shouting. A lot of people just would not get it or find anything funny about telling people they have to number off before the vehicle can move, which I still think is quite funny. But only because we did it and we shared it. The drive back from Bob's funeral, another cultural event of huge proportions. The drive back of, do we go and help Mark in his broken down car or not? And the nonsense, the chaos that erupted in Anthony's vehicle. The chimps being too noisy in the back. I mean, the hilarity of that. The party that was Bob's funeral. This celebration of Bob's life. 6 months later, whatever. Just, wow. We did it. We had it. Thank you, Mark. The characters involved we talked about. Last night we talked, and we mentioned on the show, that this isn't just a guy thing, a sausage fest, a geek thing. That there are so many very interesting women involved in this whole movement who are part of this tribe. And it's just rich. I don't know if I got at what I wanted. I think I was pretty awkward. I think I'm getting more awkward in expressing myself. I just wanted to say how important it was for me to have that time with Brent and Adam, and how wealthy, how rich I feel for having friends like that I can hang out with, who want to hang out with me, that I have something to offer, that they have something to offer. Like, we can talk. Like, Adam and I both analyzed what happened to us on the boat Saturday night. We both went through hell. Like, whoa. What are the implications? What's the meaning of that? What's the outcome? What's the learning experience? What do we do with that? That's important. And I do appreciate the feedback. And I do appreciate being loved and respected to some degree, but people know enough not to give me too much because, number one, I don't deserve it. Number two, it would go to my head. And my head is already fat enough as it is and full enough of myself as it is. It's just, I love it. I love being a podcaster. I love being a part of the Canadian amateur podcasting movement. I love the fact. It has enriched my life. That was the message. That's it. It's made my life so much richer, being part of this whole thing. And I'm very, very grateful for that. And I want to continue to be a part of this. An important part. And teach people, more and more people who don't get it yet. Hey, this is what it's about. It's not, you idiots, how many listeners can I get? It's about the quality of your listenership. It's about the meaning. It's about what it means to you. This is not about marketing. This is about friendship. This is about love. This is about caring. This is about individual human voices coming from all our unique personalities, expressing ourselves whatever way we can or need to. Thanks for listening. Check, check. I was reaching for the bell, but it's not there. We haven't recorded from here in quite a while. This is the Eglinton Go Station. Now, you remember, we're going back years now, and often wintertime, but I'd be sitting in this car a little bit drunk, just waiting till I could make that little short drive home. Not exactly in a similar position right now. I only had 3 pints and about half a cookie, and the half a cookie I said to Brent and Adam and Jason, a little chat going on. It was like getting back up on the horse again, you know, and being after having had one unpleasant experience. It was quite nice, whatever. God damn, sometimes I babble on. I just listened to the clip before this. Now, you will have heard a nice song in between. Maybe a song by Ween. I've been playing a lot of Ween lately. I love Ween. Something I would have put in there. Now here I am again. And it's almost as if I have a need to talk to you, a need to tell you things, but really don't have any information or, solid ideas to back it up. So it's a lot of speech. A lot of stuff about peace, love, dope. More emphasis on the peace, love, you know. Dope's an option. I happen to like it. Thank you very much. Except when it's in a muffin I can't handle. I don't want to keep going back to that little piece of awkward history, but I was thinking about that maybe sometimes you can feel something, and I think I felt something on this weekend, something enough to make me very sad. And keep in mind, it was, after all, a memorial tour for a fallen friend. But I also have this other man who I met in the church who I liked. And it would appear he's dying. You know, not going to get out of that bed he's in. That's a little sad. And then tomorrow, Saturday, just in fact, you know, very soon, there'll be a memorial service for Kent. The retired journalist, but mostly good guy, family man. That I talked about a little bit before. His friend Gord wrote, it's not a eulogy at all, it's just a celebration of his life, the good times, you know. The two of them wanting to be on the same touch football teams and whatever, because they're both good. Kent could throw this thing. He got a nickname, I don't know, Spiral Master or something. I'm sorry, that's not it. But, Gord could run really fast, so he could just run and catch these things that Kent would hurl down the field. And then at one point, we used to play croquet together in a place called Tatlow Park. And the Saturday would be, you know, get out the mallets, come with your own little cooler, have beer, tokes, and just set up the hoops in this wonderful little park near the water. And, Google it, Tatlow Park, if you need to. Can't do any better description than that, but sort of on the west side. And it was just fun. There'd be some hilarity, some, you know, just playing. And I mention that a lot. I mention that on this podcast. I mentioned it when I was talking to Adam and to Brent, that a lot of adult life is missing playing. It's all got to be serious. You got to do things. You got to take care of shit. It's just the element of, games like on the level of tag or I spy or, you know, I like to think they're a little more sophisticated than that, but you know what I'm saying. I'm just saying our ways of getting to know each other through play and being like kids again, like in primary school. Hey, who's that guy in my class? I want to play with him. I don't know if any, well, I'm sure on cartoons somebody has said that. Anyway, yes, I'm struggling a little bit. I think I'm still trying to digest some of Kingston. I was getting at the point where there is some death around me. I'm aware of it. You know, there are reasons for, you know, having it in mind. And yet, when I was messed up and when I was sort of crying, you know, weeping, I guess would be more like it, I wasn't seeing clearly any of those people. It was almost as if it was just for life, for my own death. You're not ready for it. I'm not ready for it. That's what I'm saying. Boy, let's get clear here. And that Saturday night on the boat in Kingston, sorry, but I got to go back there, as I threw up thinking, no, I don't want to die. And this is not the way to die and not the place or the time to die. No, no, no. But really bummed out enough to be a little afraid this might happen now with each deep, severe round of puking, like tearing my guts out and just... Sorry, obviously, I'm a little stuck on this part, you know. Maybe there's a little puke stuck on the needle and I can't get it out of this groove, but... I think it was acknowledging a little pain, you know. A lot of holding back, maybe a lot of dodging reality sometimes. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just flailing my arms here. I'm really not sure where I'm going or what I'm trying to get at. But I do count on other people to maybe help me understand myself. That's maybe what part of this is about. It's part of what Gestalt I know is supposed to be about, and I could pay some money and go back and see him and maybe get some help that way. But I'm also just thinking, well, maybe I can just do it through my friends in the Dixon Jane's tribe. Maybe you guys can help me figure out who I am. And of course, that's not really a big question. I get very apologetic, like, oh, who am I? Who are you to ask that stupid question? Like, defenses rise up. Hey, I mean, I always come back to the point, no, the conclusion is I want to be a nice guy, and I want people to know, oh, yeah, he was a really nice guy. That's what you're shooting for. It would be the westbound train going into Union. Great service. And I left, we were celebrating Jeff's heading off to Japan, of course. He got a very nice job lined up on Shikoku, the island of. And so we had a good little gathering, a nice little mix of people, formerly some CJS mostly people, and Brian, Canada Japan Society, that is. And lots of good, different conversations with different people. Another bit of rich texture. Oh, I'm just a little disappointed in myself. I stopped at 3 beer. I could easily have had a 4th. Everybody else did. And I got it in my head, no, I don't need another. And, of course, I'd had the cookie, and I don't really even feel like drinking it. And then, oh, waited till people were halfway through their glasses and going, now it's too late. Not going to do it. And I didn't fret so much over it, but did think about it. It would have been simpler just to have the fucking beer. Whether you drink it or not doesn't matter, you know. But I started thinking towards the end, well, no, get a cider. And then I'd already dismissed the waitress and said, oh, I've had 3. I think that's enough, you know, stupidly. And anyway, I'm a little irritated with myself for putting my eye on the clock and picking the train I wanted to go home at, because they run every half hour at lots of time. And leaving, starting to leave with Brian, and Brian said, well, I got to go for a pee. And I said, well, he said, you just walk ahead of me. And I did, and I just kept walking, because I knew he'd catch up to me, and then realized halfway through, well, no, he's not even going. I'm the only one going to the Union Station, myself and the lovely Lisa. And I left the lovely Lisa there. I left early, after 3 beer. This is not a good sign, I don't think. I mean, it was just send-off. Hang around, stick around, it's not late. Yeah, but if I leave now, I can get that, you know, one. And I did, and I'm glad. And now I'm sitting here talking to you, not drunk, able to drive. I got to drive this. I got to get my wife's out of the driveway, park it on the street, open the garage door, you know, get this thing off the street and into the garage, tuck in the mirror, close the door, go back onto the street, get my wife's car, drive that back in, all the while avoiding the road track, you know. I was actually going to talk to you from the road track, but I'm at the parking lot, as you can tell, and it seemed this would be a better place to start. But I could do a little bit more from the road track, but hell, that would pretty well fill up a whole podcast. I am grateful for the friends I have in the field of podcasting. I'm grateful for those of you I've got to know, and, you know, in my almost bullyish way, grown closer to. Yeah, you can leave it there.
It's getting better all the time. I used to get mad at my school. The teachers who taught me weren't cool. You're holding me down, turning me round, filling me up with your rules. I've got to admit, it's getting better, a little better all the time. I have to admit, it's getting better, since you've been mine. Me used to be angry, young man, me hiding me head in the sand. You gave me the word I finally heard. I'm doing the best that I can. I've got to admit, it's getting better, a little better all the time. I have to admit, it's getting better, since you've been mine. Getting so much better all the time, it's getting better all the time. Better, 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 it's getting better all the time. Better. I used to be cruel to my woman. I beat her and kept her apart from the things that she loved. Man, I was mean, but I'm changing my scene. I'm doing the best that I can. I admit it's getting better, a little better all the time. Yes, I admit it's getting better, it's getting better, since you've been mine. Getting so much better all the time, it's getting better all the time. Better, 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 it's getting better all the time. Better, 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 getting so much better.
Check, check, check. Checking in. I really should do something about my voice. It's always, for the past few podcasts, I'm sure it sounded very hoarse, very rough. And recording while you're lying on your back really doesn't help much. It seems I've got a blocked nose, too. Oh, my God. Oh, it's Tuesday, June the 6th, 2017. And a rainy afternoon. I'm comfortably lying here in the back. I hate saying I'm lying in Sally. But, I mean, maybe it'd be worse if it was a male name. I don't know. But my road trek and my little escape, my man cave, my comfort zone, the place I just love to step out the front door and pop open the driver's seat and slide in. It's just great. And it's my favorite place now to listen to podcasts. The little Toyota I drive doesn't really have any way I can listen to podcasts. There's no line in or anything like this does. So I'll just curl up in the back and put something on and May just doze off for just a little bit, especially if it's one of those hour-and-a-half podcasts like What the Fucks, you know, Mark Maron, or Sam Harris, or even the political one I love from the States, you know, the one. Anyway, sidetrack. Why do I need to explain everything? News today, a terror attack in Toronto, finally. Well, I shouldn't say finally, because we did have the man who came into Parliament buildings, guns a-blazing, and was shot. We did have a man years ago drive a bus right up onto the lawn of Parliament Hill.
We did have a man drive over a couple of soldiers, I think. We did have a Christian go into a mosque and shoot it up. So we're not without our acts of violence here. But today we had the news made today only surfaced, but the event happened on Saturday at our local Canadian Tire. Yes, the one I go to all the time. I mean, I was just in there yesterday to buy things for the road track, you know, and batteries and anything you need. It's my go-to place. It's where I bought my bike and everything else. Well, finally, that Cedarbury Mall had an attack. Fortunately, nobody hurt. Hopefully, somebody's going to get a lot of jail time. The person who perpetrated this incident. The Cedarbury Mall is an interesting one. They tried to fix that up. It's in an area with a lot of high-rise apartments around there. And if you ever hear of Markham and Lawrence, Markham and Eglinton, this is often in Scarborough. This is often where you'll hear about a shooting, or more often a knifing, or wanted, you know. And there's just a lot of crime stuff. And I guess an immigrant population that is not necessarily integrated. And so when you walk through the mall, it's very common. In fact, I don't think I've ever been to the mall when I haven't seen somebody head to toe in black with, you know, wearing the full niqab and just the slip for the eyes, following behind a man. The children might not be fully attired that way, but it's just a matter of time for the girls. Anyway, it's a common sight, and I you know, I don't like it, but that's just my personal opinion. I don't like certain hats people wear. I don't like a lot of outfits. I don't like fucking guys wearing pants that come down past the crack of their ass, you know, with a belt around their cheeks. I just think it's the most stupid, ridiculous, ugly fucking look I've ever seen. I just don't get it. So there's a lot of shit I don't like. It's personal opinion. I wouldn't go so far as to ban it, but there's a part of me that maybe is a little bit reactionary. Remember, I grew up with nuns who wore the full black, and all you saw was this pale white face. And they were frightening to look at. They were scary. I mean, I always thought they were like witches. Not being Catholic myself, but they would come to the door and collect, and oh my God. So anyway, here we are in Canada. People wear this. To me, it represents oppression of women, and a lot of people argue that. They'll say it's freedom of choice, you know, the pressure on women comes on television advertising to slim down, wear this, get this, don't look like this, you know, and so on. So I'm not going to pick up that argument. I'm just saying this is a common sight, so a lot of people there who are in, you know, this is their world. And hopefully their children are going to a Canadian public school and will be exposed to different values and see that it's fun to play with all kinds of people, no matter what their religion and background and color. Hang on, I gotta sit up for this. Yeah! So, anyway, this person was thus attired. And somebody in the shop thought that maybe they might have been shoplifting. They had a cart full of tools and things, apparently. And for some reason, this person was a little suspicious of her behavior and approached her. And I don't know, one news story. Remember, this just came out an hour ago, so you're getting it here first, although it's old news by the time you're hearing this. Said she swung a golf club at the manager and then afterwards reached in under her clothing and pulled out a long-bladed knife and said, "I want to kill white Christians for the bombing in Syria." Now, if those were her words, and certainly it was reported by more than one person who would have heard her, I hope she fucking gets nailed for it. I hope she gets jail time. I hope her family is brought in for questioning. This is intolerant. If a white person got in and said, "I want to kill Muslims or black people or anybody who does anything against a people because of their color, their race, their religion," hey, sorry, we don't do that in Canada. So don't tell me, oh, well, you know, there's some other reason behind this. I'm sure they'll try and argue she's mentally stressed out, poor, you know, maybe an abusive husband, who knows. She'll get a lawyer and they'll try and find some way of defending her, of course, as is her right, I suppose. Yes, 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 fair trial. But I think it's serious enough to have her stay in jail until this thing is sorted out. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know why I'm even telling you, except that it irritates me. I found it at first almost humorous, and it's not really funny, because the CN Tower is an obvious target. If you're going to hit something, if you want to make it, you want to make international news, you know, put a bomb in one of the elevators of the CN Tower. I'm not suggesting anybody do that. I don't want that to happen. The checking is so thorough that this will be the first year I'm not sending my students up to the CN Tower. Last year we had to wait in the hot sun and the ridiculous lineups, and it's just plain stressful getting students in these tiny elevators and up and down in time to catch the bus. So CN Tower, not because of terror threats, but because of your poor, poor group sales department and incompetence. And the poor way you've treated me, a regular customer, the prices have just like quadrupled since I started going there. Anyway, we're going to go to the aquarium instead. I got a nice break there. So, anyway, that would be a target. The, you know, Canadian tie. It is almost funny. It's almost funny that it's in Scarborough. It's, you know, if it had been a rubber knife or a fish she swung at somebody, maybe it'd be funnier. But I believe this was a real knife, and she was wrestled to the ground until police came. And it's odd that this happened Saturday and only now is in the news. She was in court today. So there you have it for what that's worth. Just a sign of the tension. I mean, everybody said, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do about these? Well, my rule everywhere in every civilized country, and that being England and France and Canada, everybody goes to public school. There are no religious private schools. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you could have a private school. It'd be pretty hard to undo them because of the rich and the elites and so on. So, yeah, all right, won't get into that argument. But not schools based on religion. So get rid of the Catholic school system. Bam, sorry, you're gone. It's all one system. And it is non-religious, and everybody goes. Every immigrant, every new Canadian, every Canadian. And this is where you get your education. This is where you learn your values. This is where you learn what Canadians are, what our history is. We got to do a better job there. How we get along with people, what we tolerate, and so on. And anybody who thinks that they can just take their child out and send them to a privately funded from Saudi Arabia or wherever, religious school to learn only traditional values. Sorry, you're out of luck. We don't do that here. And this is the only hope to integrate the children. Okay, the parents keep their values. We pride ourselves on multiculturalism, but threatening to kill white Christians is not a sign of multicultural, integration by any means. I don't want to talk about this all day. Here on a bright spot, I don't talk too much about my family. I mean, my wife is very, very sensitive. Today, surprisingly, just before work, she asked me to take her picture again. And not again, doesn't happen often, happened on her 50th birthday. But today she asked me, and it's because she's getting her hair cut short. She had quite long hair. I really liked it. And so she just wanted some pictures taken. Well, she still had the long hair before she gets it cut today. So it's interesting. And you know, the thing is, she might have come home with a haircut, and it might have taken me a while to notice, ignorant as I am. Blind, foolish, unobservant. Anyway, I'll be sure to notice now. And then number two son, who I don't talk too much about, got a job, and he's going to be working at a sister restaurant to the restaurant his older brother in Vancouver works at, which I think is kind of cool, and that's good news. But again, he would not want me talking much about this, so I will not go any further into family news about this huge part of who I am, what I am, what makes me happy, what makes me feel good. Well, here's a story. I'll give you another story. And this is we'll talk about all of them. Number one son's in Vancouver. He just visited, as you know, maybe. Anyway, he sent a link to my wife for a post, and it turned out there's a couple of people, Japanese people, gotta be in their 30s, it's post-university, post-career, working career, maybe older, who are walking around the world, walking the world. And apparently they've done South America, and I think they've done the States. And they're in Canada now, and they have a blog. It's all in Japanese. And they came to Canada, came to Vancouver, and they stayed with my number one son. I guess he found them through one of the sites he's on. And, of course, he's a host for, you know, I was a member of, you know, you sleep on somebody's couch surfing type thing. Anyway, they stayed with him. And we knew nothing about it. And then he sent a link to my wife, and she looked it up, and then suddenly there's pictures of my son with this couple, and them saying how mature he is, what an amazing decorator he is, because his apartment's very cool. I think I posted a few pictures. And he's become part of their story of, you know, them staying with him and what a wonderful time they had on his little place just off Commercial in Vancouver. So that just tickled my wife no end. I mean, and she felt so proud. And I think that's fantastic he did that. So now she's saying, well, if they ever get to Toronto, she at least wants to meet them. I'm saying, no, we got to put them up for sure. So that's kind of cool. So there's a little bit of a family quarter. And, well, while I'm at it, hey, Yuki, back up on bed. Now, it's funny. I was trying to make a stew this morning. Yuki comes in. I let her out at 4:30 at night. I don't like it, but I do. She may not come back in until 10 or so. And then she wants to be fed and wants to go up to my bed and sleep on my pajamas. I have to lay my pajamas out carefully for her every morning so she can nap on my pajamas because they smell nice. Or they smell like me. I wouldn't necessarily say nice. Sorry, change that. Not necessarily nice, but they smell of the human who is kind to her and feeds her. So that's where she naps. And today, while I was cooking, she came down crying like real loud meows. Like, hey, oops, my phone. I'm lonely. Hang on, will you? Hello? Hello? Yes. Yes, speaking.
Hi, Ken. It's Jonathan from the Visa Corp of Canada. Just returning your phone call.
Okay.
Yeah, you had an inquiry.
Make me some hotcakes and sausage. Make them nice and brown. Hotcakes and sausage. Flip them upside down. I'm so tired of roaming. Gone from town to town. Made up my mind now. I'm gonna settle down. So mix them with some loving. You know the kind I need. Then serve them with your hugging. Some coffee, some cream. Hotcakes and sausage. Kiss me, honeydew. Cause your brand new loving brought me home to you. Put my pinto saddle down. Said a sad goodbye. Said so long to pals in town. Tear was in my eye. I took a shift from Paris, France, stopped to see a vet. I asked her for a bite to eat.
She gave them crepes, Suzette.
Make me some hotcakes and sausage, will ya? Make them nice and brown. Hotcakes and sausage. Come on, flip them upside down. I'm so tired of roaming. Gone from town to town. Made up my mind now. I'm gonna settle down. I took a trip to ancient Rome, traveling night and day. I got so lonesome for my home, Teresa, she would say. Oh, Casadich, you are so belladone. I asked her for hotcake sausage.
She gave them rigatone.
Make me some hotcakes and sausage. Make them nice and brown, hotcakes and sausage. Flip them upside down. I'm so tired of roaming. Gone from town to town. Made up my mind now. I'm gonna shut her down. float out through the sky. When we landed, I went in to say what I could buy. I found a big brown onion down. Your food is good, no doubt. I said, I'd like my hotcakes brown.
She gave him sauerkraut.
Make me some hotcakes and sausage. Make them nice and brown. Hotcakes and sausage, I said. Rip them upside down. I'm so tired of rolling, going from town to town. I made up my mind now, I'm gonna settle down. So mix them with some loving, you know the kind I mean. Then serve them with your hugging, some coffee, some cream. Hotcakes and sausage, kiss me honey too. Cause your brand of loving brought me home to you.
I was afraid you were going to say he wrote your song. I was really, really afraid. The fun story about this is that they were having problems in Urban Cowboy when they were making the movie. They had a problem trying to put a song with a certain scene. So they reached out to David Foster and Boz Scaggs, and they wrote this song in one night in like 3 hours and had to send it by courier plane to the set of the film so they could film correctly around their rough draft of the song. And that's how they did it. He said they basically tinkled with the piano for like 2 or 3 hours before he found David Foster hit something he liked, and Boz Scaggs wrote the words to it, and then they overnighted it to the film. Now, how in the world can you imagine? And then you've got a top 20 hit on your hands.
Interesting little story there. Thank you, Jason's.
So your big connection here.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to wait for that.
The Eagles on background.
Oh, damn. Too late.
Instrumentation by Don Felder.
Okay. I'm going to fade it out. You got to go back and listen if you like this stuff, which I'm sure you will. The boys have a lot of fun doing it. So you got to go back and listen to the Yacht Rock podcast. I believe it's called Smooth Sailing. And that would be Jason and Jason. Well, it's just nice to hear a little bit of banter and laughing. And they pick a couple of songs. And I'm always surprised to find, even though I thought the beginning of the show was meant to include songs that nobody liked, turns out they often play songs that are listenable. Anyway, that's on hold. I'm sitting in the front seat of the road trek. It's just fun. I love climbing into it. You actually have to climb into it. It's high up. There's a step. And you've got to climb in, and it's just nice. I was sitting there in the living room talking to my wife, and then just decided, I think I'm just going to go sit in the road trek for a while. And here I am. It's a perfect place, as I mentioned, to listen to the podcast. Listen back to that news story I was talking about before the phone call interrupted me, and then I thought, well, what the hell, just put on a song and come back later. So here I am, it's later, still Tuesday evening. The soup I made that I mentioned, I think I made a beef and vegetable. I don't know whether you call it. I can't really tell whether it's a stew or a soup, but the texture was just right. My son loved it. I thought the flavor was, one of the best I've had, and I bought some cheap beef, $5, on sale today, and you can get tough beef, but if you cook it well enough, it ends up to be just delicious. So beef, cabbage, onions, garlic, carrots, and then paprika, what other seasoning, lots of pepper, a half a can of tomato soup, just the tomato, the condensed tomato. Because I didn't have any other tomato stuff. And, potatoes. And, what other spice? Lean perins and a little bit of garlic powder. One more paprika. And what's the other one I had? Cumin, I guess. And just, mix it up and stir it up and cook it up. And, oh, man. And then you just put that spoon in there. A little bland at first, and just give it a few more hours, and wow, you got yourself a nice meal. That and a loaf of garlic bread that they toasted. And by garlic bread, I mean a big fat loaf with real cloves of garlic in it that you slice up and toast. Yeah, remember the days when I wasn't even cooking at all, and now I'm just trying. I mean, occasionally I still have to resort to frozen chicken pie like we did last night.
But you can find good ones. This one is chicken pie and broccoli, and it was delicious. Really good one from Quebec, I think. So, that woman who I guess the tweet says she put a headband on her head in support of ISIS. She swung a golf club, pulled out a knife, was subdued pretty quickly, and nothing else happened. But it's still pretty nasty. And the sad part about it, she's married, she's got kids. Well, those kids, you know, hey, sorry, your mom's in jail. We don't know about the father. I mean, you can be damn sure the police are investigating now and finding out. I think they should also find out, well, what mosque did she attend? And who influenced her to do this? Find out who else is involved. Who put her up to it? Because I'm sure a good lawyer is going to just say, no, she's had a mental breakdown. She couldn't adjust to life in Canada. Sad part is, she was a Syrian refugee. Somebody we brought into the country to give all the breaks. Believe me, I mean, she had a place to live. And those are not bad. We're not talking slum housing here. Now, you know, somebody might argue, oh yeah, well, there's leak and there's mold and, you know, but anyway, better off here than Syria, and yet she turns around and says, I want to kill white Christians. So, hey, not nice, not nice, not nice, and the worst part about it, it's going to take an awful lot of people who are sort of maybe sitting on the fence or just already leaning in the anti-Islam direction anyway. Just the reinforcement they need to say, look, we bring them in and they turn around and they try to kill us. And that's a hard one to argue with. You know, hey, okay, she's one, just a minority, just one. But God damn it, what a stupid thing to do. Stupid, hateful, but it's more stupid than anything. Anyway, sorry, I don't want to go on about it. Let's change the subject. Ooh, what a nice ring. Wow, that was a good one. That's because the bell is mounted. It's got a special place. I used to carry it in a beautiful blue bag, but there's a round cup holder, and this thing fits absolutely perfectly dead center. So I know when I'm driving Barnacle Bill up to Yellowknife. Well, you can be sure this thing is going to be dung quite a few times. Dung. Is that the past tense of ding a bell? You already dung it. I dung the bell. I like that. I know that's not quite correct, but I like it. I dung it. You already dung it. Yeah, not dinged. And not dang. I dang the bell. No, I dung the bell. Yeah, I'll ding it again. Present tense. All right, anyway. I got two monkeys sitting in the dashboard, which is great. Turns out Shane gave me one that belonged to a nephew that he ended up in his pocket. Now it's sitting in the front. I don't have a name for it yet. The other monkey isn't George the monkey? Wasn't there a George a monkey, a famous, maybe comic or, it was a children's storybook. Anyway, he's George. This one, I don't know. Fred, maybe. Yeah, okay, so it's not that important. What is important? I don't know. It's important I finish this podcast and get it off to you. It's important I do the work. This job I have, because I do all the jobs, and I'm talking about, you know, creating pamphlets, running off the booklets, booking the tours, making decisions, ordering the meals, everything. And it's good for me. I know mentally it's good because I got to be alert. I got to stay on top of it. There's things to do and a time to do them and stuff that you cannot miss, you know. So in spite of the stress that I get trying to find the last few host families for my students and teachers, and it's always a problem, all the other aspects are really enjoyable. Like today I went and looked at a mini putt. You know, it was sort of the, blue light, wild colors, and it looked like it would be fun. And then I realized, no, I'm bringing a very classy school from Japan. Very high level, very, very classy. And they had games here you put tokens in. And it's great for Canadian kids. It's not going to suit my young ladies from Kamakura Jogakuin. It's just not the right place to bring them.
So I'm going to get in touch with the Toronto Zoo. There's a strike on right now, but they're saying, hey, we got to look after those animals. I think the strike will be over in a week, and then I'm going to book a day instead. This is all because Toronto Island is flooded. See, everything is in motion for this program. It's the same thing. I mean, yeah, right, we got pretty well the same length of time. We sort of chop here and there. And so I know what I'm doing. I know where we're going to eat in Quebec City and where we're going to stay in Montreal or Dorval. I know what we're going to do in Ottawa. But there's always tweaking and there's always variables that come in. And it could be the host family, the teacher I hire. In this case, Toronto Island's flooded, so we're not going to go back. We're not going to rent the bikes. Find an alternative. Check one out today. And it means it keeps me busy. It keeps me active. It keeps me thinking. It keeps me reflecting. It keeps me going, and it keeps me charged, and it keeps me excited. And I really am very careful about the way I present things and write things and in all my communications with all the people. So, for example, I'm not going to say where, but just through a carefully worded sentence, and that was a big part of it, I got the cost of one of my events reduced by about 50%. Well, hey, that's good. That's good. So even though I'm not the businessman type, I really know what I'm doing for this thing. So that's what I'm coming down to. I'm bragging a little bit. I'm telling myself what a good boy I am. But people who have listened to my podcast for a long time have heard me from the camp. I mean, they've heard me in canoes. They've heard me out on an island walking around naked once on an island all by myself in the middle of Bart Lake. They've heard me when I'm just plain deeply happy about the happiness I've created for these young ladies. Like, damn it, man. The position I found myself in, the way I've been able to negotiate my life, and I say that with the full understanding that no, it's not just me. It's all the other people I've encountered. It's all the interactions. It's all the opportunities. It's the fact that I was born white in Canada post-war. All those things play a big part. So it's not like I'm bragging and say, hey, look at everything I did. It's more of a case of me just being so grateful that I've had these opportunities, but also that somehow, I'll say it, I've lived my life skillfully. I have skillfully played the game of life. I'm seeing that now in my driveway, in my fucking road track, my wife's brand new 2017 Toyota CX-3, is it a Toyota? No, it's a Mazda. I love it. Sitting there, I'm looking up at this house I've got here on a lovely quiet street with a park behind us and a ravine across the street here in Scarborough. And forgive me if it sounds like bragging, which it is, except I'm trying to... I'm on an up now, okay? I'm on an up. And when you're on an up, sometimes you got to take stock and say, hey, things are okay. And the fact is, they weren't always okay. This has been a struggle. It hasn't been just given to me. I had to earn the money for this, and I had to... How would I earn the money to get this house, to get this going? Through being down and taking a chance and getting on a one-way ticket to Japan. Japan, basically, is the thing that changed my life. So much for the better. Led to the two wonderful boys I have. The absolutely wonderful wife I have as a partner who's survived more than 30 years with me. That's a bell of gratitude. That's a gratabell. A gratitude bell? A bellitude? I don't know. Just very grateful. So, there. Allow me that little bit of indulgence, okay? Hadn't really meant to go there and do that, but that's where I ended up tonight.
And I guess it's because, hey, come on. Now, I'm also talking about friends dying. People who are gone. And life happens and life ends. And you gotta really be damn sure you've done your best to make the most of it. And you've gone after opportunities, and you've tried, and you've pushed yourself a little bit, and you've got outside your comfort zone, because that is where it happens. You gotta just step outside that circle that just gets too comfortable. And just challenge yourself. Make yourself a little uncomfortable. And rise up to it. Get stronger. And I'm grateful for all the things that allowed me that. That trip to Nigeria. That trip, that 2 years in Bush Village. That trip. Flight to Japan. Because I didn't know what else to do. And all the people and all the friends along the way. And maybe even friends I have yet to meet. People who may still have an impact on my life. And if there's any way I can be a positive influence on anybody else's life out there, through anything I do or say, make it so. All right, enough of this crap. This is really getting disgusting, isn't it? Yeah, I thought so. I'll go back to listening. I think I'm just going to go back, lie down in the back of the road track till I doze off and listen to those boys finish off this particular podcast.
Are coming together here for this song. So, and before we play it, we might as well tell you that on the chart, it hit number 14 on the Hot 100, number 3 on the Adult Contemporary. But in Canada, I did not make as much of an impression. Only 30 on the RPM Top Singles and only 41 on the Top 40 of Adult Contemporary.
Wait, 41?
41 on their Top 40 of Adult Contemporary.
What, music chart math is just awesome.
And then they, at the end of the year, it hit 102
They do their research. I mean, they check all this up. They pick a couple of, they each pick a song.
So there you go. That's, that really, that's almost the whole story. Let's listen to it and we'll come back and we'll, look at,
I'll let you hear the beginning of the song, just so you know, but I'm not gonna let you hear the whole song. You gotta go to the podcast.
Talk a little bit about Boz too. He's had an interesting career.
It's, episode 44
on this show again.
He could, and it's shocking that he has not. But I think that, you know, a lot of what he has done really does not qualify for Yacht, and this one is a very fringe, you know, it could go either way.
Mm-hmm. So here we go.
There are qualifications I have yet to fully understand about what makes Yacht rock. I don't like that intro. Oh, I hate this kind of music. Oh, I can't stomach it. Oh, ugh. Okay, that's my opinion. Maybe not yours, but... Ugh. Now, this is one of the ones where, oh yeah, they're playing songs that not everybody's going to like. I sure don't like it. Ugh. All right, thanks guys, anyway. Like some of your other stuff. Just not this.